Hey friends, John Leonetti here, part three of our talk, Back to the Basics, getting back to the basics of our faith, and that is where you and I are made holy. I want to be a saint. You know that by now, right? I mean, for the last couple talks, I've told you that ad nauseum. I want to be a saint, and I hope you do too. And we talked about in those last couple talks the ways in which we can become greater disciples, missionary disciples, and to be able to become start an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. Number one, we talked about prayer. Number two, we talked about engaging in the sacraments. And number three, we talked about Our Lady. But friends, I want to invite you to take on with that and getting back to those basics, a new motto for your life for this part three of the talk. And the motto, you know, if you're like me, you like little catchy phrases and inspirational quotes. I dig that kind of stuff. But there was only one motto for the early Christians in the early church. And that was right here, the cross. The motto, the mantra, everything that they took on in their life revolved around this. A lot of times people say to me, John, why do you keep Jesus on the cross? Didn't he rise? Of course he did, right? But there's no resurrection without this, without the crucifixion. And I think we do this as a Catholic faith to be able to remind us of that. That so too, we're going to die, we're going to rise, hopefully, with God. That's our hope, the resurrection. And it's the highest feast day in the church, which points to the ultimate end, if we so choose, to be able to rise with him. But the church knows there's no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. There's no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. That unless you and I now take the cross in our life, then we're not going to make it. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, if you want to come after me, take up your cross daily and follow me. I don't know about you, but where I'm from, sometimes people will hear the priest or deacon proclaim the gospel, and maybe it just kind of goes right over their head. I know that probably doesn't happen where you're from, but you know, sometimes we think of like different things or we get distracted. I want you to know something. The apostles, when they heard that line, that did not go over their heads. They were surrounded by crucifixion. Crucifixion from the Latin excrucis, right? Out from the cross. To be able to breathe on the cross, you would have to come out to be able to breathe, kind of move around, constantly pumping your legs. That's how you would die. Your vital organs were shutting down slowly, and so, of course, your entire body was filling up with blood. That's why they would go by and they would break people's legs when they needed the tree for someone else. They got to Jesus and he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs, as we know. When your legs were broken, then you couldn't push up any longer and it would just quicken the process. The paradox of all of that is Jesus presents that to him, to his apostles, as the key for discipleship. That if we so too want to enter into right relationship with God, if you and I, in the end, want to be saints, then our new mantra, our new motto for our life is the cross. And of course, we know the beating that he took before it, walking 10 football fields with the tree on his back, the crown of thorns, the scourging at the pillar, the mocking, the betrayal, even from his closest friends, those who were so scared that they left, they turned around and they went the other way. Peter. But Jesus presents to them one way now to be able to live their life. And that is a radically new way, a way now where we die with him. Now, you, like me, might be from a part of the world right now where you're not maybe threatened literally to be able to die for your faith. Of course, there are many places around the world. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, is continually talking about them, and I am so excited about that. Virtually every one of his homilies, he's talking about the different martyrs that are literally shedding their blood. That is so awesome. It pumps me up to be able to have a Holy Father that's constantly reminding the world of that, because we need that. We need to be reminded of that sacrifice. But the Church says there's also another martyrdom, or way to enter into the cross. The Church are kind of more popularly coined, it would be termed a white martyrdom, where we're not literally physically giving our blood, which would be the red martyrdom, but we're giving our lives in the smallest of ways, that we die to ourselves and now put the other first. That's what love is, right? Where it's no more about me, it's only about you. And I do what I can to be able to allow what's good for you in your life. It's truest and purest form of love. And that's why the cross is so important, because we have a God who died for us. It didn't need to. He didn't need to. In fact, the good thief is confused by this, or the people next to him on the tree are confused to him by this. And the good thief understands it, right? But the other thief is up there like, what are you doing? You could wipe these people out. Why are you here? And the good thief says, remember me. He understood. He understood that this was the ultimate form of love. And St. Paul invites all of us to become men and women of the cross. This is why St. Paul constantly said, I preach. What do I preach? The crucified Lord. I preach the crucified Lord. No one got that. They didn't understand that. This, friends, was a paradox. This was defeat. This was defeat for all of them. They all thought it's over. All of this was a joke. All of it was a lie. He was defeated. God was supposed to come in and rein these people in, wipe them all out, take over. And yet our God goes here. Of course, he defeats it by rising, but he first goes here to be able to show us what our life has to be as well. And again, I'm not physically threatened because of living out my faith. But I also know there's other threats, or there's other things that hinder that. Selfishness, greed, the illusion of self-sufficiency are just a few. You know, I can do it all myself, where it's all about me. I just wrote my third book. The title is The Art of Getting Over Yourself and Why You'll Be Happier When You Do. That when we die to ourselves, that when we die with Christ on the cross, to ourselves, in greed, resentments that we hold, and it hurts to be able to forgive. That when we die to ourselves, we truly find what it means to live. And I don't mean to gloss over the resentment part or the unforgiveness, because that's probably one of those things that you and I maybe struggle with the most. I know there's been people in my life that are hard to forgive. And there's people that I'm sure that have a hard time forgiving me. And I'm sure it's the exact same way with you. Forgiveness is key in our culture and our society today in order for it to be healthy. But I think you and I all know this, that it's not easy and that it hurts. You know, again, the paradox of the cross and Jesus presenting his way was a paradox to all of it. I mean, if you want to come after me, take up your cross daily and follow me. Doesn't make any sense. If you want to be first, be last. It doesn't make any sense. If you want to have life and have it to its fullness, give your life away, right? When was the last time you went to a motivational talk and they said, if you want to have life, give your life away, right? No, it's all about accumulation. It's all about taking, going and getting what's yours, becoming number one, right? That his way, the cross, is totally different. And the saints, amidst all their holiness, amidst all their love, lived this and lived it to the fullness. You know, when I was titling this talk, Back to the Basics, I titled it first and foremost because of this. If we don't get him right here, if we don't get Christ Jesus right on the cross, we are not going to get him right anywhere else in our lives. This is why we hang this in every Catholic church around the world. This is why we have these in every room of our house here. And my parents think it's kind of awkward, but I don't care. This is the ultimate reminder right here of what our lives have to be. This is the mantra that the saints took in their life. This was their motivation. Their motivation of holiness came from dying to themselves, giving their lives over. And this has to take effect in all of our lives, every aspect. St. Paul knew that, which is why he calls people over for what I call the first marriage conference. Remember what he says, Ephesians 5? Go read it. It's the one that makes the ladies all angry. Women, if you want to be subordinate, or if you want to, he says, wives, be subordinate to your husbands in everything, right? Be subordinate to your husbands in everything, he says. You can imagine that probably didn't make them too excited. And the guys are probably like high-fiving each other, right? But I can't imagine why guys would kind of get excited about this or women would get offended at this. Because while St. Paul he speaks about the first line to the women. He spends the next 10 on the men. And what does he say? What does he say to them? Some of you know this. He says, husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He died. And all you ladies have to do is be subordinate. All you ladies have to do is be subordinate. We have to die for you, right? We have to go here. And of course, St. Paul was helping everyone understand this. The feeling is mutual. We all go to the cross. And I'll tell you, marriage, in a lot of ways, is an entering into it in a beautiful way. I've been married for 7 years, all right? My wife is incredible. Incredible. And I remember when those doors opened and she was there with her dad, getting ready to walk down the aisle. And as she was coming down the aisle, I'm bawling, you know, the most beautiful I've ever seen her. And I remember afterwards, you know, I remember thinking to myself, this isn't always going to be this easy. That now there's 300 people here and we're excited and we're joyful, but it's not always going to be like this. I mean, anyone that's been married for longer than 3 minutes knows that doesn't last, right? It's hard. That marriage even is entering into a cross. That every aspect of our life now takes on a new meaning. Every aspect of our life takes on a new purpose. And when we get back to the basics, friends, we don't try to get more creative, reinvent the wheel. We go to the one that he's already created. We go to the one that he's given to us to be able to take on. And we do so willingly, as difficult as it is, as hard as it's always going to be. And again, if you think this is easy, and I don't need to preach to you on that. You already know. Going here is difficult. But friends, there's nothing else and no other choice that we have. And believe me, if there was a different way, I would have found it. And I'm sure you might have too. If there was another way where we could not go here, we could just kind of avoid this. But Jesus gives this as the only way. He says, the path is narrow. To hell, the path is wide. But the path is narrow. And the beautiful part about that is, friends, is we do have a choice. I said in one of the earlier talks, I said, yeah, I didn't get down to my wife on a knee and say, you're going to marry me whether you like it or not. Right? I said, will you marry me? A lot of times I pray the Stations of the Cross, and in the meditation that I have, there's images in there. And one of the images when Jesus falls is he falls down to a knee with the cross. And I always imagine that's him on one knee as the groom proposing to his bride, the church, which is all of us, proposing his love. But you see, he does so not with a beautiful ring. He does so with the wood of the tree. That his proposal is giving us this cross as well. Will you take this and follow me? Will you forgive your enemies? Which sounds amazing, by the way, doesn't it? Doesn't forgiving your enemies sound awesome until you actually have an enemy? Then it drives you insane. Right? They occupy so much of your mind, sometimes daily. Jesus says, if you want to come after me, you'll die to that. You'll forgive, even when it hurts. If you want to come after me, you will love. You will take up your cross. You ever had to give tough love to someone? I had a woman that emailed me that was heartbroken because she had to kick her daughter out of her home because of some of the choices she was making. One of the hardest things this woman said she's ever done. But she knew she needed to do it. And you know why she knew she needed to do that? And every case is different, I know. But because she loved her daughter. Sometimes taking up our cross is doing the things maybe we've been avoiding for a while. Putting our foot down. Tough love. We don't do so just for our own sake. We're doing so for the other. We're doing so because we want them to get right too and to get right with God. The saints had a lot of different opportunities that presented themselves, and they didn't need to go looking for them. And you probably don't either in your life as well. The most important thing, friends, is to be able to get this right. One of the things I suggest really is I suggest that you take a crucifix, and I suggest you put it, one, I don't care if they're big or small, in every room of your home. It doesn't have to even be on your wall. You know, we've got little crucifixes in some rooms, right? Doesn't even have to be on your wall, but to take it. So that you can't go anywhere in your house without being reminded of what your life now has to be. Friends, I told you before, and I'll tell you again, I want to be a saint. There's nothing more important to me than that. And I hope and I pray that there's nothing more important to you as well. Our Lord has you here for a reason. And the reason is pretty simple. Because he wants to enter into a relationship with you. He wants to love you and have you love him. That's what our God wants. He doesn't need it. He didn't need it. St. Thomas Aquinas says if he didn't continually will it into being, it would all just go away, right? But he wants it. And want is stronger than need, friends. Of a God who wants us to be with him, to rest with him. Take up your prayer life, and I mean that, be disciplined in it. It's no wonder that discipline, disciple, yeah, be disciplined in your prayer life. Start that relationship if you can, or deepen that relationship with Our Lady. And every day, friends, the best that you can, frequent the sacraments. Enter in where he is, and especially the most blessed sacrament. If you've got an adoration chapel nearby, stop in. Try to stop in once a week. Just say hello. Sit down with them and ask them to work on you. I want to thank you for inviting me to be a part of this journey with you here during this retreat. And most importantly, I'm going to ask that you pray for me and know that I'll pray for you as well. Let's pray right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ Jesus, we ask for your blessing to be upon us, that your Holy Spirit may come upon us to be able to help us, to be able to love you, to reorder our lives so that now your cross, Christ Jesus, becomes ours. Your cross becomes our mantra. Your cross becomes our life. We ask these prayers through the intercession of Our Lady and her most immaculate heart. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thanks so much, friends. Be confident in Christ's mercy and his love today. Thank you.